So where are we?
Hey, we're in the office of Stephen Toulouse. That's me. I work with the Microsoft Security Response Center on communicating about vulnerabilities that impact our software, and working with the team to make sure the information gets out for customers to be protected. We're all right here in this long hallway in Building 27, and I'd like to show you guys around and meet some of the people behind the scenes. You guys seen me talk about it, but I'd like to show everybody else
sure.
The real people behind the works.
All right, let's go for it.
Sure. Right down the hall. Kevin Keen with his Taz monster there. Right here, we've got Mr. Ian Mulholland, who will give us a couple of words about what he does.
Oh. All right. So the picture on the screen? So what do you do?
I used to be the operations manager. I think you might talk with Mike Reevey later on, who's the new operations manager. But now I kind of focus on some of our more strategic directions, some of our kind of relationships with government and, you know, people who protect critical national infrastructure, our emergency response teams. Sounds very glamorous and very exciting. Unfortunately, it's not quite as exciting as that, but very important.
It's probably 90 days of boredom and 10 days of sheer terror.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. I mean, obviously, these guys are pretty key partners and can really help impact protecting customers and things like that. So it's very important for us to have, you know, good relationships with them.
But, so since you deal with governments, is there such a thing as cyber warfare?
I could tell you, but they don't have to kill you.
Okay.
I mean, we don't really kind of get involved in that space. I don't know we necessarily would want to get involved in that space.
Right.
Where we're more involved in is, you know, how we can work with government in terms of helping them protect critical national infrastructure. So, for example, you know, how we might respond in a major internet worm, what they can do to protect, you know, kind of things like the networks and all that kind of stuff. So. That sort of stuff. Cyber warfare sounds very exciting, though, but
it's not like Tom Clancy? Yeah.
No, unfortunately not. You know, that's maybe the 10 days of excitement that I'm still waiting to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's all kind of pretty mundane.
What are the challenges in your job?
Part of it is scale, because, you know, literally you're working across many different governments, of course. You know, different governments have different agendas, and, you know, an agenda here in the U.S. may not be the same agenda in Europe, and it's trying to harmonize those and understand how we can continue to protect customers but maintain, you know, for example, one of our key you know, tenets is customer equity. We want to treat every customer the same, regardless whether they're in the U.S., they're in Europe, they're in Asia, whether they're on NT4 or Windows Server 2003. So it's striking all those balances, but yet, you know, still actually doing something, because it's very easy to end up in a situation where, you know, you don't do anything because it's just too hard.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like trying to get a balance. So,
cool.
Yeah.
All right, where does Stephen go?
Keeps me busy, keeps me out of trouble.
Cool. So.
And you'll have to talk to Mike Reevey because he's the guy who I managed to kind of go, there's the hot potato of operations.
Excellent.
So he's the busiest and most stressed man around here.
Cool. All right, let's see where, what's going on?
Just tell people
my tour guide is disappearing.
This is our release manager, Craig, for the MSRC.
All right. There's all sorts of stuff on your door. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to show it.
No, so that's our release calendar. That's our process. Bunch of
big,
process.
Big old calendar. All right. No secrets here. So what do you do?
I basically drive the release process, drive the other PMs to, you know, write their bulletins and make sure all the other teams are in process, and that's what I do. I'm kind of the project manager, I guess, of the team.
And tell me a little bit about what that means. What's your day like? What kind of things do you do?
A lot of random fires most of the time. Lots of little things coming up, people meeting things, dealing with a lot of our partners, stuff like that. Making sure people are meeting deadlines, schedules, stuff like that.
So all of Microsoft's patches, do they go through your hands?
In some form or another, yeah. So we also build the release criteria for the security updates that go out at Microsoft.
So what's the most challenging thing about your job? I imagine you have a pretty stressful job at times.
Probably keeping tabs on everybody, making sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's probably the most stressful thing.
And what would you say to the people out in the world who use our software every day?
And
use your patches, right?
That Xbox is really cool. Halo 2 is awesome.
And patch your systems, right?
Yep.
That and turn on auto update.
Yeah, turn on auto update. That's good stuff.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much. All right.
And now, Mr. Mike Reedy, of course, the operations manager of the MSRC.
Yes, sir.
Cool. How are you doing?
All right.
All right. You got secret stuff on your whiteboard?
That's right.
All right.
along with noodles.
We won't show the whiteboard, though.
Cool.
So what do you do? What's an operations manager? Does that mean you have a whip underneath your desk that you pull out?
Not so much. It's more just a thick rod. That's about it. But basically, every security update that's going to get released is going to have a set of issues come up to it. And it's going to be having something work smoothly is the exception rather than the rule. Yeah. So for every time there's some sort of interesting quirk in trying to get a security update released, I'll get involved to try and make sure that we can figure out how to make it as smooth as possible.
Okay. So, where's all the couches? Yeah. I heard you guys sleep here overnight. And
well, if there's time to sleep, then we'll try and go home.
Yeah. I got a couch in my office.
Yeah, Stephen's got the couch. And there's, have you guys been to Ian's office? Because this guy's got a bright electric blue couch.
Yeah.
If there was ever an annoying couch.
What I was getting there is, what happens in this hallway when there's a major crisis, you know, a slammer kind of thing?
A lot of times I've seen where people actually sit down in the hall and just kind of roll around on the floor. But it's a pretty community-driven team as far as like a real team effort. So you'll see everybody kind of tumble into one office, and the thought capital will move from office to office to office is when we're working on an issue. Now, if it's a true crisis, we set up a war room, and we actually will get into a room together and bring in all the partner teams that are involved with the whiteboards, and that way we can monitor, you know, exactly what's going on for each situation and the critical point of the situation.
Do you have a war room set up right now, or is that sort of in...
We have a dedicated war room. It's currently, we're building out a new one in this building, so it's not ready yet, but we do have a dedicated room that we use for that purpose, just because you never know when these things can happen. You know, some attack could happen, criminals attack customers in the middle of the day, middle of the night, weekend, you know, we've got to have the room available. So we do have a dedicated room that we bring people into. And we let people know that, you know, that room is dedicated for us so that the teams, when there's an alert, they know to go there.
Right.
So it gets everybody in one room.
How has XPSP2 changed you guys' lives?
Well, so far, there's been a couple of emergencies where we've been able to say SP2 will help you. And it's really refreshing considering... more often than not, we were looking at, we didn't have a lot of good guidance for customers at all, you know, and even though service pack's kind of tough for some people to consume, at least, you know, for consumers in general, you know, it's great to say, if you've just followed our guidance and installed SP2, you don't have to worry about this one. And that's a real benefit. So, yeah, that's probably the main one. You know, we haven't had a knock on wood, you know, blaster class incident since the release of SP2, and I think that'll be a good test on, you know, with the firewall being on and things like that, how it performs during those things.
Right.
You know, and the thought maybe, you know, with something like SP2 out there, maybe that's less interesting for people to try and generate, so.
Yep. I know I've been loading it on everybody's machine, so.
Cool.
Thanks. And now we can talk to the voice of the MSRC. This is Christopher, and Christopher...
Hello. We'll tell you a little bit about what he does.
Yeah, what do you do?
So I'm responsible for triaging.
Let me get over here, because if the window's at your back, you'll look like a black head with a nice background.
Pretty much black anyway. So I'm responsible for triaging all of the emails that come into secure@microsoft.com.
Oh, you're the guy.
It's not an auto-form.
So you sleep?
Once in a while, you know.
Okay, yeah.
I'll also take the box for me, but...
Do you take Skype calls, too?
No. Once I get rid of all the inevitable spam that comes into the box, I get to work on actually helping people. And we get a lot of requests for tech support, and I make sure that they get the assistance they need. And eventually we get down to the cases that are reporting actual vulnerabilities to us. And,
yeah.
I'll open up cases on those and hand those off to the case managers to drive.
What could people do when they talk to secure at... It's secure@microsoft.com, right?
Yeah.
That alias always messes me up. Is it security or is it secure?
We have an autoresponder on security to direct people to secure. So
okay.
That base covered.
Excellent. So do you have any advice for people who are trying to report an issue, or
be clear, be specific, give us the details to be able to reproduce the problem. Tell us what you're expecting to happen, what actually does happen, and what products, what versions.
Right.
And any detail you can give us will help us out in being able to repro and get it fixed a lot much faster.
And how long does it usually take you to get back to an email? What's the response time?
We promise response within 24 hours. It hardly ever takes me that long.
Okay.
You know, once I clear out all the spam and everything.
So you're not sitting in here playing Halo 2 and ignoring the email box.
No games in
here. They don't let them have any games in this office. No distractions.
I'm one of the people who practice a clean office policy. But
it's kind of the opposite of my office, right?
Yeah.
My office is all about making distraction available, at least in some shape or form. And Christopher's very sure.
Yeah. You got only the email box to look at.
Pretty much. And I'm on top of email all day long, so I usually respond to things within minutes.
Okay. I imagine your job is pretty stressful because you're on the front lines and people are yelling at you, probably. I get that kind of stuff, too.
It's stressful to an extent, but I get to pass the buck most of the time. So once we find out it's an actual case, it goes off to somebody else down the hall.
Yeah.
So I'm just the initial triage, and then other people do the surgery.
Cool. What's the most interesting problem you've answered?
I don't know. What
was one of the emails that you said, oh, my, that made me say, oh, the team's going to be no sleep tonight?
No, can I talk about that?
I think we'd be lucky that we haven't had one of those in a while.
Sasser.
I think Sasser was one. You can probably discuss that. I mean, that's Internet Explorer. There's been one or two where, you know, Christopher also reads the lists for us.
Yeah.
And then if something goes public on them, you know, he's able to alert us and we're able to mobilize. So I'm sure there's a couple incidents there.
We do more than just secure at Microsoft.com. We monitor a lot of the common mailing lists and websites. We have other sources that get information about vulnerabilities to us. So.
Very cool. Well, thanks.
Try to be all-encompassing.
Great. Thanks for spending some time and showing the face at the other side of secure at Microsoft.com. Thanks. All right. Next on the tour.
So we've got, you know, a variety of different...
Go ahead.
We've got a variety of different program managers who are here in the hallways all busy working on cases and working on things right now. Let's see if Carrie's got her door open, but she's not in at the moment. Police line, do not cross. So she's very serious about, you know, don't interrupt. But we'll head on down the hall here and work with some of the other people that do some of the work in security for us.
So let me hear.
But Michael Howard's not in. We're going to talk to him later.
We met him on one of our first videos.
These guys are all... actually got some guys who've left the doors open but aren't here, so we might swing back and talk to them in a bit. Chris isn't there. You guys want to be on the video? This is Matt.
Let's get to tell you a little about what he does.
Hi.
Yeah, what do you do?
I work with product teams around the company to do penetration testing and find vulnerabilities in products before they ship.
Are you what's known as a white hat hacker?
If you were going to use those terms, yeah. I don't know.
All right.
Like, sure.
Paid to hack into our systems, huh?
Pretty well, to some degree, yeah. So I don't do the network hacking kind of thing. I'm not trying to... like find boxes that aren't patched on the network or something. I'm, you know, installing, you know, the next version of Exchange or whatever and trying to hack into it and find vulnerabilities. So, I lead one of the teams that does that here. So
if the rest of the company is doing its job, your job is actually getting tougher over time, isn't it?
Yeah. And actually, you know, I'm working with a team right now that they went back and redesigned from a previous version and have added a bunch of restrictions, and it's making my life hard. So hopefully my life will be made a lot harder.
Do you have a good golden parachute so when we finally can say you're out of a job, you got a better job somewhere else or something?
I don't know.
He hasn't made any plans.
There's always work to do, no matter where you land.
Well, and really, I mean, some of our work over time, we're trying to move earlier on in the process. And so ideally, they'll get to the point where the stuff I'm doing won't be necessary, but you know, there'll still be needs to go in and do design reviews early on, and there's a lot of work that you have to do early on to make software secure so that it's not all kind of done at the testing time.
So you're working with developers to do threat models and stuff
Yeah,
like that?
I mean, I've done some of that. We have, you know, we can move more into that part of the team. I do a little bit of it, but there's other folks who do more of that.
Yeah, we met, who was the guy who wrote the threat modeling tool?
Frank.
Yeah, Frank.
Yeah.
Yep, he was on Channel 9 already showing off his tool.
Okay.
Yeah, his, I don't know if he's out of office. But
yeah, I think I saw him a few minutes ago. So.
Oh, cool. Well, nice meeting you, and keep trying to find those holes before the criminals do.
Thanks.
And across the hall here.
All right.
Some more fellows who help. What these guys do is really plug into the overall security work. The MSRC is really kind of a wide team, from all the way from trying to triage the vulnerabilities to producing the updates, and these guys do the great work that's behind that stuff too as well. So it's quite neat.
Yeah.
These guys got a moment.
Hey, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
So what do the three of you do?
I'm a member of Matt's Pentest team, and so I actually work with him on doing what we call the final security audits,
okay.
Which is working with product teams at the end of their life cycle to verify that they've done good things with regards to security. And we try to do spot checks to see if we can find, you know, big places where there's security vulnerabilities.
Okay. And how do you go about finding security vulnerabilities? I mean,
so
is there a methodology that you follow?
There's a pretty good methodology. It's actually fairly well known within the industry. It has to do with things like, we generally start by footprinting. So we'll take a look at an OS, and then we'll install whatever application we're testing on top of it and take a look at the difference between the two.
Okay.
So we can see where we can identify entry points and what has changed in the operating system. And then we'll use that to identify what kinds of attacks we may be able to perform. So it's really the footprinting portion of it is the beginning, and then we'll do like a cursory threat model. It's really, you know, we'll sit down with a number of pen testers and sometimes people from the product group, and we'll go through and we'll try to identify some of what we think the key threats are. And then we'll use those key threats to go in and actually validate that they either are or are not threats, and see if there are any threat vectors associated with those. And there are a number of different techniques, from fuzz testing to arbitrary bad input and other things that we use when we actually identify particular threats we want to investigate. We'll also review source code on occasion. It just depends on what the specific threat is that we're looking at.
And on your screen, you know, I see some source code. I probably shouldn't show it, but
I'm actually working on a couple of different things. I actually gave a presentation earlier today on some fuzzing technology that we've been working on. So I'm looking at a couple of issues that we discovered during the presentation.
Excellent. Is that fun?
Explain fuzzing.
Yeah, what is that?
So fuzzing is basically the idea that you create, you take whatever input is, whatever interface your input is. In this case, I'm working on file fuzzing, so it's files as an input. And you violate the data. You basically change the assumptions that the devs were using. So you send in bad data, all kinds of interesting bad data. And interesting, from our perspective, are things that cause problems with code patterns that developers use. So long strings is a great one, because everyone is hopefully familiar with buffer overruns.
Yeah.
And so we'll send in a really long string to see if we can overflow some buffer that the developers created. And so lots of different variations like that. We'll look at strings. We'll try to look for integer overflows. So we just go in and we manipulate the data. And the basic idea of fuzzing is that it covers the boundary cases that are really hard to cover in other ways, because what it does is you write a tool to modify the data in interesting ways and then just let it do it over and over and over again. So you run this hundreds of thousands of times against particular sets of input, and it creates bad input and submits it. And lots of times it doesn't do anything interesting, but a few times it crashes, and that's when it really gets interesting.
Why is it crashing? I've heard that before.
Why is it crashing?
Why is it crashing? Why is that the interesting time?
Because what it basically means is that it means some change that we made to the input is causing the execution to eventually fail. And because it failed, it generally means that... So we know what we did to change the file, to change the input, and we know that it caused a failure, and so we can go and look at that and see what about the particular change caused the failure, and that generally indicates a bug. And it's really interesting. There are particular types of failures that are very interesting to us. what we call a write access violations are the most interesting because they generally are a direct pointer to a buffer overrun. So we use the standard exceptions that the operating system returns to us, we use to try and identify where the bugs are.
Okay. And who's your office mate here?
This is Greg.
And
I joined the Features React team about 2 weeks ago.
All right.
And in the React team, we are working on the issues that come to the Microsoft on a daily basis, and we do investigations. We try to find variations of new vulnerabilities. Then we follow up with the product groups. We just synchronize the patches between the product groups and MSRC group. And that's pretty much it.
Cool. Well, welcome to Microsoft.
We just hack, try to find even more problems.
Thanks. Well, thank you for showing us around and talking to us.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. All right.
Let's head on back this way.
Oops. All right.
One of the things that we do is when we first receive a report of a vulnerability is we don't just go by the information that we're given, as we were just mentioning. We let the product team investigate to try and kind of turn that code sideways or around and take a look and see if there's other ways of doing it, and then we have our own people validate that as well. Let's go ahead and head down over this way, see if we can get some more people who want to talk about it, because we don't just have from that side the developer interface, from this side the producing of the updates. We also have some customer relationship people around here, and some community relationship, and I want to see if anybody's in.
All right, at the moment, let's see. Sorry.
Would you like to talk to us, sir?
No?
All right.
6 and 4.
We've got a couple of different people here. Is Ms. Kimberly Price.
Hi.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do, Kimberly?
Okay, so I'm a program manager, and I do outreach to security researchers. We sometimes call them finders. They're the people who find vulnerabilities in our products.
Yep.
And my job is to try to work with them to create relationships that help protect customers, but give them what they need, and it's beneficial all around.
Wow.
So.
Stephen told me about responsible disclosure. What does that mean to you?
So, to me, it means that you're trying to work with the vendor to get a patch out there to protect customers. There's a difference of opinion about what responsible means. Some people think if you tell the vendor all the details, but then you only give a little bit of the details out in the public just so that people know it's there, that's still responsible because you haven't put an exploit out there or anything. The challenge is that there are some very focused people who will spend a lot of time trying to figure out what that is, and that can put customers at risk if they figure it out.
Yep. If they're even given a hint of where to look, they'll
absolutely
probably find it.
Yeah. I mean, sure, by not putting the exploit out, you're not making it easy for script kiddies to just, you know, go out and create havoc, but there's still a handful of very, very talented people out there who will take advantage of what information you've provided and go wreak havoc on their own. So.
And how do these security researchers get in touch with you?
Well, there's the secure alias. And
secure@microsoft.com.
secure@microsoft.com, and that's how they report vulnerabilities.
Okay.
And then sometimes I'll see people who will post a bug track who say, you know, I tried contacting Microsoft, they didn't get back to me. And usually what's happened is they didn't contact secure. They maybe contacted a partner group or some other email alias, and it just didn't get filtered down to us. And so I'll email them and let them know how to work with us. And if they ever email us and don't hear from us, they can email me directly.
Okay.
If folks wanted to get in touch with me, you know, directly, I don't know. I should give my email out on Channel 9.
Yeah,
an awful lot of email.
I end up
picking out people in the
community. Just send it to secure@microsoft.com. Send this one to Kim.
Send this one to Kimberly, absolutely. So there's people I already have relationships with, but
yeah.
Then there's also brand new people who, you know, maybe we've never seen before that are just getting into the field, and I'll try to contact them as well, because if they're into security, we're a security group. I mean, we could probably help each other out in some ways. And
now, do you go to some of the security conferences and stuff?
Absolutely. I go to security conferences. And then whenever I'm out on the road meeting customers, you know, if I've got a partner visit in Germany and there are people that I talk to over email or instant messenger in Germany, I'll add a day to my trip and I'll go meet them in person just to help them see that we're just people and we're really passionate about security, just like they are, and try to overcome some of the barriers that sometimes happen with email.
Yep. Well, thanks for what you do.
No problem. Keep it up. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks. All right.
Let's go talk to Window.
To who?
A window.
Huh. So you guys just moved into this building, right?
We did. We just moved into this building.
Yeah.
Hey, Window.
Look. Just a moment. This is, of course, Sobel.
Yep. Hi there. And what do you do here?
I engage the security community. The research part of the security community, so that we can leverage their expertise to better improve the security of Microsoft products.
So you're similar to Kimberly then, or?
Yeah, I do work with Kimberly.
Okay, great. And so you probably get a lot of email that comes into the secure@microsoft.com.
I actually don't work directly with MSRC. But
they don't forward you all the cool email?
Not all of it, just when particular instances arrive where we can engage the individual and try and help them out.
Okay. And anything? I'm running out of questions.
Same set to ask everyone.
Yeah. What's the most interesting thing about your job?
Well, I own the relationship between security consulting vendors and the product teams, so that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Working with all different product teams to identify which vendor is going to best meet their needs. Working with the vendors to normalize pricing across the company and identifying which individuals for those vendors have the right skill sets to work on particular projects for Microsoft.
Oh, cool. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Wendy.
Let's see. I think that's all we have for today.
Cool.
Andrew's out,
right.
So we might want to make that pick up with Andrew.
All right.
And pick up with Mike.
Cool.
It's just about everybody. But, yeah, we just moved into this building, and so we're still... still sort of getting all settled into our various offices and stuff. Terry, did you want to be on the video?
Sure.
All
right, we got to cross the police,
yeah.
The police line here. we can't go through the...
we can cross the police line.
I love that. That's a great idea. I think I'm going to put that on my head.
Yeah, it actually does keep people out. They sort of stand on that. The other side of the line
keep
and lean over
the line.
And talk.
Please talk to you, please.
Yeah. So what do you do here?
So I'm a security program manager here at MSRC, and I deliver security bulletins, triage abilities, and get beat up for it. And this is Alexandra Huff, who is shadowing me for the day to learn about life in the MSRC. We have some career opportunities available right now on the team. So she's
everybody's
figuring out. She's figuring out something she'd be interested in.
What's the hardest thing about writing a security advisory?
Making sure that you dot all the I's and cross all the T's.
Yeah. No typos.
it's trying to coordinate all of the information and deliver it in a way that that our customers can enjoy.
On a busy day when there's something, you know, like SaaS or something going on, how many security advisors can you do in a day, let's say?
As many as I had to.
Yeah. We got people, get this up.
So there's actually a really long process involved in putting together a security bulletin. And to do a good job, it takes several weeks of efforts.
Why so long? It seems like you could just, you know, write a little, you know, post, hey.
You would think so. There's a lot of pieces that have to come together. You know, there's all of the file manifest information, and there's a lot of work you have to do to get that information on what's contained in it. You have to clearly understand the attack vectors, how an attacker may use it to exploit customers. So there's a lot of work that goes into it as far as how they can detect and deploy it as well.
And all that particular documentation, that happens concurrently while they're making the update.
Right.
So that while the update's being worked on and being tested, which, you know, can sometimes take a while to make sure that it's of high quality, the bulletin's being worked on as well by these guys. So.
Now, Now, do you guys have RSS an RSS feed so people can just subscribe to the security bulletins?
That's
get,
correct.
Ah, cool. And where do we find your work? Is that at Microsoft.com/security?
It's actually Microsoft.com/WAC Technet/WAC Security.
Ah, okay.
And that's where all of our IT security bulletins are at. The Microsoft.com/WAC Security site is geared toward our consumers.
Okay.
And helping them understand the bulletins in maybe not so technical terms so that they can make educated decisions about whether they need to apply that patch or not.
Got it. So for the geeks, go to technet/security.
That's right.
And for mom and dad,
mom and dad, go to /security.
All right. Great, thanks.
Dad can enable automatic updates and not worry about it.
Yeah, that's true. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Terry.
So you deal with the press a lot, right?
Yes, I do. I deal a lot with the press, and our team as well also puts out a lot of the emergency communication during things like Sasser, but it's really the team that's around here that provides all that information that ends up getting published or that I end up talking about to the press as well. So
right.
It's really a team effort across a variety of different people who are all here in this hall.
Oh, yeah. Do you hold press conferences like on the West Wing?
No, I. He's laughing. He's done it too. So, no, it's not quite that fancy, but we do, upon each release on the second Tuesday of the month, do proactively contact the press. We don't wait for them to call us and say, "Did you release security updates?" We contact them directly and say, "We've released this many security updates today. We believe you should really talk about it," and we make people available, like myself, to go ahead and talk about all of the great work that these people have been doing to try and provide that information so that people are aware. You know, for those who don't have auto update, they're going to see the headlines on news.com or something right. Like that nature. So they're going to get the word one way or the other.
Very cool. Well, thanks for showing us around the security hallway here.
Happy to do
and,
so.
And glad to see you guys in your new offices.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Thanks. Okay.